to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
No Mark Grandy this week, just me. I'm Kyle Madsen and Sterling Bennett rocking with me. We're going to hang out till 7. So if you got something to say, let us know at 888-957-9570. I know 49er fans are frustrated. I'm frustrated. Sterling's frustrated. Every single caller we've had today is frustrated. That's how you know it's a bad loss, by the way. Because there hasn't been a call or a text on the Comcast business text line that has been like, hey, you guys are being too hard on them. That happens every time there's a loss. It's always, there's always one person, at least one person who calls in and is like, actually, you know what? Not that bad. Everything's going to be fine. You guys are overreacting. Everything's good. Just relax. None of that today. Everybody's matching each other's energy, and I love that.
Which is so funny, because 2 weeks ago when they lost, they were like, why aren't you getting more angry at the Niners? And you were like, we are angry. We're like, it's week three, week four. Like, whatever.
Yeah, it was week one. No, week two. No, three. Yeah, it was week three. Yeah.
They're all merged together now. They're 2-3. They lost more games than they've won.
Yeah.
Like, God. Crazy. Like, now it's like, there is justifiable reasons to be outwardly angry.
Yes.
Like, I don't know about you, Kyle, but when I watch games, I'm pretty verbal, as most people are when they watch. And my wife, who doesn't watch football at all, she thinks the guys are cute, they have nice butts and whatnot. She goes, she's in love with Nick Bosa.
Same.
I mean, who wouldn't be, right? I mean, my goodness. See that guy up close, you're like, I get it. Okay.
My man exercises. Shout out.
The quads gets me. I have my chair pulled up in front of the TV, blocking the TV to give her, you know, her space. And all she hears is, yes, no, for like the entire fourth quarter. And I go, babe, we're going to lose. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, this is going to be a terrible week. This is going to ruin my afternoon. And she's like, what do you want for dinner? I go, dinner doesn't matter. San Francisco lost. So, yes.
What do I want for dinner? A red zone touchdown. Can you call one of those?
Please. I am upset.
888-957-9570. If you got a silver lining, let us know if you want to switch it up. But Nathan down in Indio, dang, shout out to Nathan. He's not going to give us a silver lining. Let us know, Nathan, what's up?
No, unfortunately, I don't have a silver lining for you guys.
That's,
I mean,
okay.
I guess you could say this because, hey, we got 12 more games to play. But here's my big thing, that after this point, teams are starting to show who they are. And the 49ers, unlike any team, have flaws. The problem is they're not so great and consistent at any one thing that they can overcome that flaw. So the offense can look great, but then it's like it's not consistent. It's like they're becoming a Jekyll and Hyde team all in the same game. You can look at them at one point thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to blow the doors off. And all of a sudden it's like, what happened? Oh, they are just vanished. And all of a sudden they can't make a play. Mm-hmm. And the defense can't make a stop. And, you know, so the offense not scoring is bad because we don't have that great defense that we've had. It was like, you're just not running at all.
Yeah.
You forget about it. You know, there's DeForest Buckner and DJ Jones in the middle. You're not going anywhere. So go ahead and try to beat us by throwing the ball if you're going to beat us. So the flaws are hurting so much that they have to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we all know, against the better teams, this is not going to be good. I mean, just think about this team going against Kansas City defense. For real, it's not.
Yeah.
So, no, the alarm bell isn't that just that you lost, and the worst, you lost two division games. It's because the best teams will expose this even more than Arizona did.
Yep. Yep, I'm right there with you. Thanks so much for the call, Nathan. Really appreciate it. That's kind of the other thing here. Let's take a look at the 49ers schedule. Again, not to get too far away from this dismal 24-23 loss, but they're at Seattle next week on a Thursday night. Then they come home and play the Chiefs, who are undefeated, FYI. Then they play the Dallas Cowboys, who may or may not be good. They're
injured a lot, too.
They're at least as good, if not significantly better, than the Cardinals, and the Niners get a bye week. Then they're at Tampa Bay, who's been excellent to start this year. Then they're home against Seattle. Then they're at Green Bay and at Buffalo in back-to-back weeks. One of the a very good team in the NFC and one of the best teams in the AFC. Then the Bears, who looked really good today. Granted, it was against Carolina. But they looked very good today. Then you get the Rams, Dolphins, Lions, and Cardinals in the final four games of the year. Like, there's no stretches coming up on the Niners' schedule where you're going, hey, okay, there's where they can stabilize. Yep. Like, there's the get-right game. And maybe by the time one, maybe I don't know, Josh Allen is out for the Bills, and all of a sudden that game looks a lot easier, and you're going, okay, hey, they got to get right here. But there's not, as of right now, there's no games the rest of the way. There's none of their 12 games left are a game where you're going, yeah, that's the one. That's the one where they get, okay, as long as you get to 500 at this point in the schedule, then you're good. Nah, man, they've got to be, like, perfect the rest of the way.
They should be perfect right now. Like, that
was, agree with you.
That's kind of, like, when you go into the year, you print out the schedule, and you kind of pencil in wins, right? This game should be a win. This game is against a team San Francisco should likely bring home the W, and a lot of those games took place in the beginning of the year, the first 5 weeks or so, right? And San Francisco let three of those games, two of them primarily, Rams and Cardinals, fall out of their hands, fumbled them completely, literally and figuratively. You don't have that grace anymore. You don't have penciled in wins. You go, oh, okay, like you said, Kyle, that's where they have this stretch. Whereas last year, off the bye, out of Jacksonville, three games in a row you lost, you're back on track, smash them, go on this massive run to end the year, where you don't lose until, what, the Ravens on Christmas, which Lamar Jackson's his own beast, whatever. But, like, you don't have that.
Mm-mm.
You have to go to Green Bay, to Buffalo in December. That could be the snow. This team's not built for the snow. They ain't built for 100 degrees in Santa Clara at their home stadium. And, like, when you look at it, the way the team has played, because the schedule gets tougher, like, where is the confidence level this team even rebounds off of this game? Like, they could very easily lose against Seattle. Mm-hmm. The way they played, they can lose against the Chiefs and the Cowboys. And even post-bye week, Baker and Mike Evans have been tearing it up.
Been awesome.
I promise you win that game. Like, you can lose the next four games because the team has played that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It is dire straits for the 49ers right now, especially after the way they played today against the Arizona Cardinals, losing 24-23, smoking another 10-point lead against an inferior division opponent. Excuse me. What should have been an inferior division opponent.
Yeah. No longer.
888-957-9570. The only teams behind the 49ers in the NFC are the 1-4 Rams, whose only win is against the 49ers, and the 1-4 Carolina Panthers. That's tough.
It makes tough me want to slam my head into a wall.
Please don't do that. I can't do this by myself. 888-957-9570 is the number. Monica is here in San Francisco, wants to talk about the loss. Monica, what's going on?
Oh, hey, disappointing loss.
Yep.
What everybody's saying is true. I had a bad feeling going into this season about the Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is he finally needs to get his head out of his butt. He tenses up in tense situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going for it on fourth and one. That's not running the ball enough. When to hear the announcers say that the Niners are a running team, and then we start off with all the passes with, yes, they were successful, but know who you are, Niners.
Yep.
Like, we shouldn't fall apart because our flipping kicker got hurt.
Yep.
And I don't know what's going on with our defense. We've been kind of spotty all year, but, yeah, it's very disappointing that we normally do bad against running quarterbacks, and Kyle took us in the first drive, but we seemed a little more buttoned up after that. So to lose this game is just horrible.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Monica. Thanks so much for the call. And Monica brought up something that we haven't talked about yet in regards to Kyle Shanahan, because, again, I'm not in the fire Kyle Shanahan boat. However, I'm putting the start of this year squarely on the coaching staff. And Monica brought up that field goal from 4th-and-2 at the Arizona 2. It is a 10-10 ball game. Arizona has just scored a field goal to tie the game. The Niners go 11 plays, 68 yards, and they get a 4th-and-2 at Arizona's 2. And they kick the field goal. I'm not like a full blown analytics dork that has like the spreadsheets out and the Twitter account that does all the like calculations for you on whether you should go or not. I'm just talk like let's just talk football here for a minute. Let's throw the numbers out the window. Okay.
Right.
I'm with the analytics stuff, but let's throw all that out the window for a second. Fourth and two at the two, you have Deebo Samuel, Jordan Mason, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk. You go for that every single time. If that field goal is going to put you ahead with 2 seconds left, okay, fine, take the points. But making it a 13-10 game there, that's a massive, massive win for the Cardinals. And if you don't, if they don't get it, then it's fourth and two. And I know that didn't work out against the Vikings. They went 97-yard touchdown two plays later. But I think you got to go for it again. I think you have to trust your offense in that spot to get 2 yards. There, I know there's a play somewhere rattling around in Kyle Shanahan's brain where he goes, yeah, I feel good about this getting 2 yards. And if you don't, if he's looking at the offensive line and or whatever Jordan Mason's doing or whatever it is, if he's looking at his offense and going, don't love our ability to get 2 yards here, then they need to make some sweeping changes. Because there are very few spots at fourth and goal from the two where I'm feeling like, yeah, you know what? This is good to take the field goal. Just take the points here. You had a chance to step on their necks, man, and you let them wiggle away.
Which has become a far too often said phrase on the show the past couple weeks. Yep. There was a game earlier today, Dolphins versus Patriots. Terrible teams, no quarterback play being done whatsoever. Oof. Banged up teams, no defenses, just yikes. You know what the Dolphins did? They got desperate. They lost Devon Achane. You know who scored a touchdown? Alex Engel, their fullback.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me Kyle Juszczyk isn't in every single meeting like, hey Kyle, can I get the ball? He wants to do punt returns. He wants to do hold the kicks. He wants to kick the ball himself. Mm-hmm. Like, on fourth and, you gave Kyle Juszczyk the football on what, third and one, third and two in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago or 3 years ago against the Rams. You won't give it to him on fourth and two when you can have Jordan Mason push him up into the hopeful goal line and get a touchdown? Like, and that's one solution that may or may not work, but it's like, bad teams get desperate to score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins, no quarterback, right? They, Skylar Thompson, Tyler Huntley, no Tua. They're desperate to get any points by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, San Francisco almost has to operate as a bad team. Because right now, they're a bad team.
That's it.
Forget the name value. Forget the prestige you may have as a head coach or what you did last year. In 2024, you're under 500. You've lost two games. You should have easily won by more than 10 points.
Yep.
Get desperate. This team has to have some sort of switch to flip that says, you know what? If we don't score here, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown or going forward on fourth down, whatever the situation is, you don't have time to waste games of, oh, if we lose this one, it's okay. Playing for a tie is okay. No.
Mm-hmm.
You have to now play for every single inch of grass and yard and touchdown. Play like you're a bad team. Play like you don't have your quarterback. Play like you don't have your reigning offensive player of the year. Get desperate to get points. Because you actually are at this point in time.
Yep. That drive that got to the two, they had a first and goal at the eight. They go handoff to Isaac Garendo for 3 yards. Okay.
Okay.
Get behind the rookie. Then not the worst pass of the day from Brock Purdy, but the throw to George Kittle on the little leak out where it's supposed to be throw it to the sideline, Kittle makes a catch with room to turn upfield and walk into the end zone. The throw was there.
Yeah.
And he just missed it. He threw it high and Kittle's momentum took him out of bounds. That puts you at third and goal at the two. Purdy scrambles around on third down, nobody there. Throws an incomplete pass.
Why are you throwing it?
I run it twice. I don't care. I don't care what the
literally.
And that's like, I don't care what the looks look like. I just run it twice. Get behind Trent Williams and Aaron Banks and give it to Jordan Mason or Kyle Juszczyk and let them barrel in. Maybe get there a yard at a time. Or then maybe you give yourself the quarterback sneak option on fourth down. The first and goal at the eight, you go run, pass, field goal. I and again, I am not a old school, you gotta run the ball if you just run the ball more, because I think that's true in some cases, but I think sometimes that's misguided too. I don't think it's always that easy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in that spot, third and goal at the two, that's a four down territory and run it twice. You can't get a yard two plays in a row. I feel really, really good about their chances to do that. Get creative. Do something weird. Do something that we talk about this with Andy Reid all the time, right? It was so glaring in 2022 when the Chiefs came into Santa Clara, came into Levi Stadium. They kicked their ass with Mecole Hardman.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
it was Juju, and it was Mecole Hardman. It was, hey, we're going to get our fast players the ball in space, and he is going to run. And on the other sideline is Danny Gray, who can't get on the field, right? And not that I think Danny Gray is great at football, but like neither is Mecole Hardman, and the Chiefs figure out a way to make him effective.
Yeah.
This is another gripe I have with Kyle Shanahan, and this goes back for years now. Like, just finding ways to get the ball in guys' hands with a chance to make a play, instead of going, okay, well, they're giving us this look, which means if we perfectly execute this play, this thing is going to happen. Like, no, man, let your dudes go play. Give the ball to Jordan Mason twice and see if he can make something happen. Stop worrying about, like, oh, okay, well, they're showing this run front, so that means we have to pass it now, and Brock's going to extend the play and hopefully finds it. Like, no, man, that's not the offensive identity. That's not what this team is. I get that Brock Purdy is playing a lot better this year, totally. And they're going to pay him and all that, and that's awesome. But if you don't have to put it on your quarterback's right arm, don't.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't know what changed.
And you know what? Diving into that further, okay, it's third and two. What player that you're paying a lot of money to only touched the ball four times today for 20 yards? Debo Samuel.
Yikes, dude.
And maybe he's banged up or whatever, but he got three carries, only caught the ball one time on three targets. Like, you cannot tell me that Debo Samuel, the allotted wide back, former All-Pro guy you're paying a ton of money to, your number one receiver, the guy you were like, we can't let him go, we're not going to trade him during the draft, we're going to restructure his contract before the year starts to free up more cap space for us this year and give us some more money to utilize.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any player on the offense not named Christian McCaffrey that can take over a game, it's Debo Samuel.
Yes.
And he touched the ball four times today.
Inexcusable.
And on a third and two, didn't touch it once.
Inexcusable.
Like, come on. Like, we can't continue to sit here on the show, people calling in. If we can see it, and hindsight's 2020, but if we can see it, you know Kyle Shanahan sees it too. He's just not doing it.
Yes. And that's what I think is so frustrating, is it all feels so easy.
Yeah.
Like it all...
It's not, but
no, right? But it's 5 weeks now of just kind of the same problems and the same things being an issue, and that's why, like I said, I think you have to turn the spotlight onto the coaching staff now, and I don't know what I would love to pick Brock Purdy's brain, like sit down and watch film of today's game with him. And go, what happens? What happens? What is the Cardinals defense doing? The Cardinals defense, which is supposed to stink, the Cardinals defense is not good.
150 yards per game on the ground each game this year.
What is happening that Brandon Ayuk gets 12 targets, George Kittle gets 12 targets, Juwan Jennings gets 4, Debo Samuel 3, Jordan Mason 1. Yeah. We can't do, in fact, you know what? Shout out to Dan Dibley, host of Willard and Dibbs 2-6 on this very station. Can't wait to hear Willard and Dibbs tomorrow. He said screens, draws, yes, like that.
Yeah.
When was the last time you watched the 49ers run a straight screen to the running back? Not the extended handoff to Debo, not the little tunnel screen to Ayuk or McCaffrey. Where's the, hey, quarterback backpedals, offensive line breaks out, defensive line crashes down, throw it over the top to Jordan Mason, and he's out there with a convoy. I'm not very good at that many things, but I'm pretty good at recalling plays and games and stuff. I cannot remember, and Sterling, if you can remember, please let me know. I cannot remember the last time they ran just a screen like that. Like, yeah, just a straight, like, screen to the running back.
The Cardinals do it all the time. James Conner took over this game in the fourth quarter. Screens, runs. He was the offense for the most part of that fourth quarter. And San Francisco couldn't stop him. And if, which it's so funny because we make it sound so simple when it's not, but the Cardinals, for example, a bad team, right, or supposed to be a bad team.
Yeah.
They said, okay, look, we know San Francisco can't stop the run. We're also going to rely on our best offensive player, that being James Conner. Give him the ball and force San Francisco to stop him. And even when they stuffed him, went right back to him. And sometimes that doesn't always work. Sometimes you're like, what are we doing, Kyle? The Debo wide back stuff isn't working. But if the other team is like, you know what? We're going to take Debo Samuel out of this game. Make them. Don't let them. Make them do it.
That's it. That's it.
Like, the way Kyle Shanahan calls plays, which I do think he's a genius. I think he's his offense is stellar. It's so good. 19 other teams want to have a Shanahan-like offense.
Yes.
It's mimicked everywhere by bad teams, good teams, great teams, whatever. But make the opposition take Debo Samuel out of the game.
Yeah.
Don't take him out because, oh, they double covering him or the look looks like this. If they stop Debo Samuel on 3rd and 2 and 4th and 2, clap it up, kudos, you got me.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen. It's like, well, the look's not there. Can. Slant to Ayuk, picked off or tipped or two completions, whatever. And you're like, well, this is, football is not that hard. It's complex, but it's like, the Ravens have no problem giving the ball to Derrick Henry 17 times at the goal line and saying, you can give me half a yard, buddy.
That's
why can't Kyle Shanahan do it for Debo Samuel?
You brought up, and I see the 415 on the Comcast business text line, 888-957-9570, if you would like to hit the Comcast business text line. You can also give us a call at that number, vent sesh today. Like, if you got something to say, let us know at 888-957-9570. The 415 is obsessed with this. They've texted multiple times about it. Nobody's calling him a boy genius. We're just saying people have called him a genius. I've never heard the phrase boy genius on this show. So thanks, 415. Salute. no, but this is just it. Is Shanahan constantly talks about how he's gonna you learn the defensive rules and then you break those defensive rules, right? And if they're in a run front or if they're showing they're trying to stop the run, well then hey, we're gonna counteract that by throwing because we're gonna attack the weakness. But what you saw, what you're talking about, Sterling, and what the Cardinals did today, you think the 49ers weren't stacking the box to stop the run? You think the 49ers weren't showing, hey, run front, we're going to try and stop the run? And then the Cardinals just committed to it and kept doing it over and over and over and over, and it worked? Whoa, stunning. Football players making football plays. I'm floored. Like, it's just, it's a difficult game, I get it. And I know it's not as easy as, like, just let your dudes be dudes. But sometimes it is that easy. And I don't think the 49ers do that often enough. And that's not exclusive to today. It's not exclusive to this season. This goes back to George Kittle. Remember the huge game he had as a rookie against the Broncos? When he had like 198 yards in the first half or something. Just an insane first half and then zero catches in the second half. And it's because they started covering him differently and Shanahan went, oh great, now we can get Marquise Goodwin the football. Like nah man, keep throwing it to your guy, they can't stop. Like, exactly. This goes back, and this has been a complaint, and I think it reared its head today when you see a spot where they're first and goal at the 8, and they refuse to let their best dudes touch the football. Okay, I see Jay on the line. We'll get to you, Jay. We've got more overtime coming up. That's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen, 888-957-9570. That's a Comcast business text line. You can also give us a call there, 888-957-9570. We'll have more on the loss, but then we'll try and, a little bit silver lining, we'll try and give out some game balls too, and see if we can't end this on a high note. we'll be back in a second here. This is Overtime on 95.7 The Game.
Now, Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Trying to end this bad boy on a high note. Niners now 0-2 the last time they blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown. Woo! Brandon Ayuk got 100 yards. Hey, my
yeah.
man. Another silver lining. The Dodgers are losing in the top of the sixth.
Well, that's good.
All right. Look at that. We got, hopefully everybody, in all seriousness, hopefully everybody's staying cool out there. It is crazy hot. Like 85 in San Francisco feels like 110 everywhere else.
I never thought, and I live in SoCal now, the high desert area, never thought I would say it is cooler here than it is in the Bay Area.
Yikes.
Like, I never would have thought I'd say that. Like, there are not trees. There is no green grass for miles. And it's cooler here than it is in Santa Clara in San Francisco.
Yikes. Yeah, that's what... You know, I kind of went into the game going, I wonder if the heat plays any kind of factor today. And you heard Kyle Shanahan say it a bunch in the postgame. It's just not – I didn't think that was the problem today. I think the Niners had a bunch of the issues that they've had all year, and they just kind of got exposed against a team that was able to expose them. James Conner, second half, 13 carries for 77 yards. Just light work. It was so easy in the second half.
What's so frustrating, too, is like Brock Purdy himself admitted in his postgame press conference that San Francisco is still trying to find their identity offensively. And it's clear to us that's the case, but what do you have OTAs for? What do you have training camp for? What do you have practice for? What do you have preseason for?
Yes.
What do you have the first 4 weeks of the NFL season for? It's not like the players that you have today aren't the ones you didn't have a month ago. You haven't had CMC for a month and a half.
Right.
So like you have a fully healthy offense, and you still can't find out what to do.
So here's kind of, and I'm glad you bring that up. Remember in 2018 when Jerick McKinnon got hurt, like the Saturday before the season?
It's a ghost cut, torn ACL, done.
Right. It was just... it was like Saturday, like a week before the season started, basically.
Right.
And they, on the fly, and Jerick McKinnon, they signed him to that big contract, remember, because he was supposed to be what basically Christian McCaffrey has been for this offense.
Exactly.
He was supposed to be that running back that could split out wide and move them closer to this positionless offense. They lose him a week before the season. Their offense is disjointed the first couple of weeks because they are figuring this out on the fly because they've been installing this offense that revolved around a running back that was going to be able to do all this different stuff, right?
Right.
And they are discombobulated the first couple of weeks, and then Jimmy tears his ACL, season's over. This, to me, can't be that. Because you had a full offseason, or excuse me, a full training camp without Christian McCaffrey to figure this out.
Yeah.
And then a full preseason. And now you've had 4 weeks leading up to this to figure out how to do offense without Christian McCaffrey. And they've not made that adjustment yet. And I don't understand why Christian McCaffrey being out has to fundamentally change what your identity is, because your identity is run the ball, run play action. With Purdy, you push it down the field a little bit more, but that's what it is. It's that under center I formation, either run it down your throat or you're going to run play action, get outside the pocket a little bit and create space with that to get it to your playmakers where you're getting yards after catch. They're last in the NFL in yards after catch this season. They are at near the bottom of the league in play action rate. And yeah. I don't, that's why it's like, hey, they don't know what their identity is because they've walked away from their identity for no reason.
Right.
Like this is not a figuring it out on the fly. Like Jordan Mason's a good player. You still got Deebo Samuel. You still got Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. Go be that team. I don't understand why this is different.
We've seen this offense execute at a higher level with worse talent.
Yeah.
Like Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. and Elijah Mitchell, like they have been like you said, they've walked away from who they are for literally no reason. There's no reason to get away from the play-action, run-heavy offense that you have run since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You have, in fact, the most equipped offense to run that system you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But it's let's not do that. Let's drop back 30-plus times a game, seven-step drops, five-step drops, no play-action, no checkdowns, no end-arounds, no nothing. And it's like, just let Purdy drop back, throw it 35, 30 times a game, and hope someone's open. And I have no problem with them doing that more. No one should. Mm-hmm. It's been successful under Kyle Shanahan with Brock Purdy. And against a secondary, against a defense like Arizona, you expect more of that. They have proven through 4 weeks to be able to get beat deep downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Ayuk, eight catches, 147 yards today. Cool. Take shots. I'm okay with that. Everyone should be okay with that. But it's the fact that when they take those shots, they don't then revert back to who they once were. They continue to take shots downfield. And it's like, okay, now it's 3rd and 10. No offense, whether it's Mahomes and Kelsey, Montana Rice, Brady Moss, Brady Gronk, they can't even be on 3rd and 10 continually and expect to win. Why should Brock Purdy, who's a good quarterback, top 10 guy at least so far this year, stat-wise, not today for sure, but it's like even the greatest quarterback of all time would struggle in this system the way it's currently being executed.
Yeah,
and it's up to Kyle Shanahan to readjust, revert back to what works. Don't forget who you once were. Like you were saying, get back to who you are.
And maybe this is a good spot against Seattle. Maybe this is a good spot on a short week where they go, hey, we know what's going to work. We know what we have to be doing. And maybe that was the plan today. You mentioned Deebo Samuel. Maybe he's banged up earlier. Yeah, maybe that's the case. Because he ran it a couple of times early and then just wasn't really involved after that. Maybe we're going to find out tomorrow in Kyle Shanahan's conference call that he's dealing with another calf thing or something. I don't know. But it seems like in the past, every year, they've needed an offensive spark. Hey, it's just going to be feed Deebo time.
Yep.
Oh, need that. Okay, hey, here's a couple of screens to Deebo. Here's a handoff to Deebo. Just getting him the ball in space and seeing if he can make a play. And that just hasn't really been there this year. And then today, you get an outstanding game from Brandon Ayuk. I think the game everybody's kind of been waiting for. 8 catches, 147 yards. Okay, like now this thing is rolling. He can get back to what works, except that was it. That was all they kind of got. So I don't know exactly what they're looking at. I don't know why they've taken the easy throws and easy reads out of the offense. It hasn't made them harder to defend. Like that that's kind of the whole issue. So I mean, they're 5 weeks in. They're going to have 5 weeks of tape on teams defending them differently. That to me is plenty of time to figure it out. And they haven't yet, and they may not at all this year, but I don't know what's stopping them from going back to the team that is a very much a run-heavy, run-first offense.
Well, it's funny. My dad just texted me and said even Tom Brady on the call today said he wants to see more play action from San Francisco. And it's funny that that's a quarterback they tried to get. Once he said no, then in 2020 they turned him down. So it's like he can see from the booth like something's off. Like why is I guarantee you, had Tom Brady been the quarterback of this team at any point in time, play action, run heavy. Like, that's who Tom was throughout the majority of his career. And he's one of the best throwers of the football ever, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. Even he was like, I want to run play action here. Make the opposition, like, kind of like I said earlier, where it's like, make the opposition stop your stars.
Mm-hmm.
Stop Derrick Henry with the Ravens. Stop Deebo Samuel with San Francisco. It's almost like the only time you ever want to get away from who you are is when the opposition makes you.
Yes.
And San Francisco willingly went down this path of a different offensive identity. And it makes no sense as to why.
Yep.
And 2021, Kyle Shanahan, two quarterback system, didn't work. He said himself that he wasn't in rhythm. Okay, that took a while. You were 3-5, took you 8 games to find yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to take 9 games this year? You don't have that time anymore. You can't be 3-5 and expect to come back and go to the playoffs and be in the NFC Championship game. You just can't. That was a miracle. Wow. Can't believe this happened. Never going to happen again. Season.
Yep.
You can't dig holes and expect to climb out of them over and over and over again in the NFL.
Nope. especially when you're as banged up as they are, especially when you've already made three deep playoff runs in the last 3 years with largely the same group. That's not a good way to win football games or make the playoffs or have continued success. If you're 4-2 and you've kind of snuck, like the Chiefs are 4-0 right now and they are not playing well. And that's the way you have to do that. Like that's a way you can go, hey, you know what? All good. They'll start playing better and everything's going to be fine. At some point, the Niners are going to dig themselves in a hole where, hey, it doesn't matter that you're playing better. You're 9-8. It doesn't matter that you finished 6-1. Like, you don't go to the playoffs because you were too bad early in the year. You don't get points for November and December wins. So they got to figure this out quick. 888-957-9570. That's the number. Jay is here in San Francisco. J1, excuse me. Not to be confused with J2 or 3. It's J1 in San Francisco. What's up, man?
All good. Yep.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks.
Doing all right. Can you turn the radio off for me?
Sure.
Thanks, man. What do you got?
Yeah, so how you guys doing? Nice and warm.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate it, man. No, that's a great take. Could not agree more with Jay.
Should have had J2 or 3.
Yeah, no. Jay... hey, can I just real quick, we have this Brock Purdy sound, and salute to Ken and Cam in the back, doing such an excellent job grabbing all this sound. Brock Purdy's got all the answers for how the 49ers fix it in the red zone. Here we go.
Man, we just need to play better, and that starts with myself. Get down in the red zone. We got to execute and score touchdowns. There was multiple times where we could have pulled away significantly in the first half. Again, that starts with myself. And so there's that. And then second half, when defense is getting stops, we can't just turn the ball right back over. I mean, that's pretty plain as day. And so we just got to be better in that area and back up the defense. When the defense is doing their thing, we have to be able to go down the field and execute and put points up on the board, not give the other team life. So we need to play better.
Play better and score touchdowns. You heard it here first.
You think?
Perfect. Couldn't agree more, Brock.
Like, you're right. Do that next time. See what happens. please.
I'm not expecting Brock Purdy to get up in a press conference and go, okay, well, this is how teams are covering us, and this is how I think we should be able to beat it. Like, I know he's not going to do that. It's just funny. We're sitting here trying to figure it, and the quarterback's going, well, you just got to play better and score touchdowns for sure. Can't turn it over. Like, yep, thanks, Brock. That's good stuff.
Uh-huh, yeah. The gas is on the right, the brakes on the left. Like, no duh, dude. Like, I love you, Brock, but, like, thanks.
Yep.
Thank you so much for giving us the most obvious answer possible.
We got it. Yeah. And he did say, we just need to play better. It starts with myself. I couldn't agree more. Like, we talked about the one field goal earlier, the 20-yard field goal where they kicked it from fourth and goal at the two. Like, there was a touchdown available on that drive, and Purdy just made a bad throw to Kittle. And my guess is there were more than one throw that he turned down throughout the game where, man, I don't know why he is, and this is something that's gone on for a couple weeks now, all the scrambling and stuff and extending plays, that's awesome. But it feels like he's gotten away from just taking the easy throw and just pockets collapsing. Hey, you know what? Going to dump it off here to Jordan Mason or George Kittle or whoever, and they're going to get 4 yards, and we're just going to have 2nd and 6 now. Or now we're going to have 3rd and 3. It feels like every single time he drops back, he's looking to make a monster play. And I think if they start reining that in a little bit, like the 20-yard downfield throws and stuff, like that's awesome. Like you love having that incorporated into your offense. But that can't be it. That can't be what you're looking for on every single play. Or else I think you're going to get you texted this earlier, and I thought it was a great point. You sent this to me during the game. You're like, I don't know how they can be so explosive and so bad at scoring.
Right.
And it's like, I think that's why is every time Purdy drops back, it's like, man, need an explosive. Like, no, sometimes you just need to get to 3rd and short.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know why they've gotten away from that. It seems counterproductive or counterintuitive.
And it's so weird because everyone wants those plays. Like, every offense wants the explosive play all the time, but they know it's not going to be there 99% of the time. And, you know, Brock has gotten this reputation of he's a gunslinger. He'll take risks. He'll throw deep downfield and double coverage, triple coverage. Touchdown against the Patriots, George Kittle last week, triple covered. Corner of the end zone, gives a guy a chance, makes a play. And even if it's ill-advised, sometimes the reward is worth the risk. And I think in an offense like this with a good defense that usually can bend, don't break, get you the ball back, you don't mind stuff like that. But it's almost as if the gunslinger in Brock Purdy has come out to play more often than not this year. Whereas sometimes you don't want him to be a gunslinger. Just be a sniper, man. Take your shots when you have a clear one, right? Pick your shot, then take it. Don't just take it every single time. You're going to miss, right? You don't want to do that. You want to take your precision shot downfield at the right opportune time. Not on, you know, second and 12. When you give me six, give me 7 yards, make it a third and five, fight for the next down. Mm-hmm. The red zone today, near the end of the game, right? They drop back three times, and it's incomplete, incomplete, incomplete. And you're like, or sack, and you're like, Brock, just throw it away. Like, yeah. I get it. You want to make that big play. You have the offense, the weapons to do those things. Mm-hmm. But this offense has been able to have explosive plays. The quarterbacks that can't throw 15 yards down the field accurately. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys can do this themselves. And Brock, you're a great piece of this, but it's like, rein in the gunslinger somewhat.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to shoot 13 times a game. Shoot 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Mm-hmm. Rein in yourself, because the offense then becomes more accurate, more precise. And then the defense plays you honest. They play it on the box somewhat, then boom, downfield, 35 yards, touchdown pass.
Yep.
That's not happening anymore.
No, and one of the things that Brock was so good at, and just to kind of build on your point, he was so good at, like, avoiding the negative plays, right? Like, that was a big thing is man, are they airing it out as much as some other teams? No, but they are not going to get him a negative play from the quarterback. And this year, all the scrambling and stuff is great, but, man, if something's not materializing, you got to get rid of it. You can't take a second and 14 when you know you don't have a kicker. You can't take a sack there, man. I understand trying to put the team on your back and stuff, but, man, do that on third and 14 instead of third and 23. You know, just throw it away. Take the short throw. Instead of second and 14, you can get into third and 10. That's so much more manageable. Like, that's what I think is really missing for them right now, and it's one of the things that I think they can relatively easily get back to. Like, that seems like not that big of a change that they can go ahead and fix over the next week or two, because they get the short week against Seattle, but then they get the mini bye, right, going into that game against the Chiefs. So maybe going to that Chiefs game, they figure something out. But they got to turn it around quick, because 2-3 is bad, 2-4 is worse, 2-5 is catastrophic. So they got to get right here eventually.
Wouldn't it be something if, of all the teams they play to refine themselves, it's the team that has haunted them the most since Kyle Shanahan was that coach? Jimmy G tears the ACL in 2018. You lose 2 times in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. CMC's first game in 2022 against KC. Like, the team that has haunted them, been in their way. As a big wrestling fan as I am, Roman Reigns tells Cody Rhodes, "You're in my way in life." That's been Kansas City for San Francisco. Wouldn't it be something if they refound themselves against the one team that has held them back or been in their way of reaching the ultimate goal since 2018?
Yeah.
It'd be crazy.
Would love that. It'd be a good, really good, like, narrative punch for this season.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get to game balls, we're going to try and end this thing on a high note. Really appreciate everybody for rocking with us today and everybody who's called in and shared their frustrations with us. It has been immensely helpful for me. I don't want to speak for Sterling, but it's been nice hanging out with you guys here on 95.7 The Game. Real quick, on the Comcast Business text line, the 650, the Niners need Moses Moody and Lindy Waters. Couldn't agree more. They need somebody who can hit threes right now. And we know our guy Lindy with the big triple last night to beat the Clippers down in Honolulu in their preseason opener. That's fun. All right. Sterling, we'll start on offense. Who gets the game ball for you offensively for the 49ers?
Do I want to give you the easy one?
I think that I mean, you don't have to.
Okay.
I'll figure something else out.
Okay, so I want to go with a guy that didn't score the touchdown today. I'll go with Brandon Ayuk. Maybe that was the easy one to you, I don't know. But 8 catches, 147 yards through the air, 18.4 yards per catch, multiple third down conversions. Is Brandon Ayuk back? It certainly felt that way.
Yeah.
I know San Francisco lost, but this is a game where, walking into it, I said, hey, Ayuk should have a monster game, and he did. And he picked apart a really bad Cardinals secondary that unfortunately pulled things together enough to beat San Francisco. But week 5, Brandon Ayuk has reformed himself, if you will, to look like BA of 2023 once again. So a big game for him, and he gets my offensive game ball.
Yeah, man, a big game for him for this week and potentially moving forward? Because if the Niners are going to have this big offensive turnaround that we've kind of been, you know, talking about, how do they get there? It's going to involve number 11. Like, just no, there's no two ways about it. Like, Brandon Ayuk has to be involved. That's just
the Purdy chemistry.
Yep, that's it. You said it. 8 catches, 147 yards, tied for the team high with 12 targets, tied for the team high with the person who gets my game ball, the guy who did score a receiving touchdown, George Kittle. 8 catches for 64 yards and a touchdown for Kittle. He was the outlet. He was the safety blanket today for Purdy, and I thought did a really nice job. You know, with all credit to Jordan Mason, 14 carries, 89 yards. He also had a catch for 9 yards. Just salute to George Kittle. Finding the end zone and continues to... Should have had a second touchdown with a better throw.
He should have. I mean, this team's looking for answers. George Kittle has been an answer to a lot of their questions. It's just like, use him more if you have to. He's there a lot. Use him more.
Yeah, man. Yep, I'm right there. What about defensively? I'm not sure this is going to be as easy.
I think... Without knowing his coverage stats or whatever, I may go Diamador Lenore.
Yeah, it felt like he had a really good game.
Yeah, and even then, scored a touchdown. And it's his birthday.
Yeah, you know, like, man, that's a great pick by you. Well done.
Like, truly well done. Birthday, I don't know how old he is now. Maybe he's 24, 25, whatever. Happy birthday to you, Diamador Lenore.
We have the technology to find this out. Go ahead.
But Jordan Elliott blocks the field goal. You gets the big return, 61-yard return for a touchdown, albeit against San Francisco. Didn't win. There was some bright spots. Special teams played relatively well. Had a good punt coverage early in the game. George Odom with the big tackle. They get the block. Lenore has been this team's best cornerback through 5 weeks, and you get a big touchdown like that. It's not often special teams scores touchdowns, so when it happens, you have to give that guy a game ball. Demo Lenore. Game ball number 2.
Yeah. Also, 8 tackles and a pass breakup. Like, that's a heck of a game. And I'm with you, man. I thought he had a really nice pass breakup against Marvin Harrison Jr. Demo just continues to play really, really well. I'm gonna go with Nick Bosa.
Okay.
He had 2 tackles for loss. He had an interception. I don't know what his pressure stats were, but the Niners needed somebody to step up on the defensive line today. He had another play where the Cardinals tried an outside run, and they stacked like 3 players, like a tight end and then I think a receiver, above the left tackle. And Bosa read that it was a run that way and just plowed through all 3 of them and forced James Conner to kind of kick it out wide. And Fred Warner came in and cleaned it up for the tackle for loss. But it was just a play that Nick Bosa read and made. So he gets a game ball for me. He gets, I think it was his 2nd career interception, with the 2 tackles for loss. The Cardinals ran a couple of tricky kind of inside, like shovel pass plays and a little inside run play that he sniffed out. So, nice game for Nick Bosa. He gets the game ball for me defensively.
I was hoping he was going to return that thing for a touchdown. I was begging for a Nick Bosa stiff arm to an offensive player. Oh. Like, imagine Nick Bosa stiff arming Kyler Murray to the ground and running for a touchdown. Just number 2 overall pick on number 1 overall pick crime right there. It was Nick Bosa, for as much as, I guess, I don't want to say blame, but for as much as people were begging for him to step up in big ways, the last 2 weeks he really has, despite the loss, been a major part in the defensive effort to get the offense the lead and actually score touchdowns on defense. So I totally agree with you.
Sterling, I would love to say this has been fun. But it was.
Enjoyed myself at all.
I've had a terrible time today. No, this has been great. Wish we could have talked about a win. Instead, we're talking about a 24-23 49ers loss here on overtime. But buddy, we'll do it again next week. Really appreciate you very much. Ken and Cam in the back, you guys are outstanding. We really appreciate you. And everybody who called today, you guys were awesome. Couldn't do it without you guys who are listening, calling, texting. Appreciate you all from the very bottom of our hearts here. And can't wait for tomorrow. You thought, you know, we were hot. I can't wait for for the rest of the shows. It starts with the pregame show at Joe Spadoni at 5 a.m., then Bonte and Butcher will pick it up at 6, and then to Steiny and Goo, and of course to Willard and Dibs. Cannot wait for tomorrow on 95.7 The Game. Should be a great time. Sterling, thank you so much. Ken, Cam, for Ken and Cam, I'm Kyle Madsen. We will talk to you guys next week here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game.